really appreciate that song. And I'm going to start off with, I'll need some input or some help from you all. And I'll ask for a show of hands here in a moment for some things. And I want to try to take a quick count. And you'll understand here in a moment. It's nothing to be afraid of, all right? So, unless you're afraid of your age. All right. So I want to start with, and then we mentioned a number 90 earlier, that Sister Charlotte Husky is 90. And I think, you know, 90 is a good number, a round number. We can use that as, we know of some other folks around 90 years old. But I want to split that in half. And so I want to see a show of hands for anyone that's age 45 and older. And I want to get a quick count. So anyone that's 45 or older. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I think I got about 20. Does that sound about right? It's pretty close. Okay. So, well, now the obvious one. Oh, let me write it down here. So now we'll get a count. We'll raise your hands if you're under 45. Okay? T. 6, 7, 8, I got 28. That's close. I got those two out as well, I think. But anyway, so, all right. So we'll keep those two numbers in mind. And the numbers aren't necessarily significant, except it's interesting that there's more younger ones than older ones. And, you know, I think that's wonderful. And I know there's several that's not here this morning that could add to both of those numbers. So we're thankful for each and every one here this morning. But now I want to shift gears a little bit and not talk so much about these numbers, but I want to go back in the past a little bit. And I'm going to want some more input from you all. Let's go back in the past about 10 to 15 years, okay? And we'll just pick 15 years because that takes us back to 2010. 2010, and I want to talk specifically about the congregation here. 2010, can you think back that far? There's a few that weren't around back then, but most of us were. But in 2010, the chapel was freshly finished. And we were enjoying the new facility here, and we've been so grateful and thankful for everything that's been put into this chapel, and we've really enjoyed this. But 2010, we've just been using it good for a solid year, maybe. And back then, Brother Ed and Sister Roberta were the pastors here. They've since moved on down to Prague now. So that's one couple that is gone. They've moved. But I want some more input, and we don't have to get, like, details. I mean, I know a lot of people have moved back and forth, and, well, a few years later, Brother Mike and Sister LaDonna Adams moved here in 2018, was it? Correct? So we're grateful for that change. But there's some others, and I'll get some input from you all. There's some that have passed on since 2010. Can you name some of those this morning? Brother Bill Day, yes, he's one. Brother Ed Johnston. Sister Esther Hightower. What's that? Yes, Rebecca. Uncle David. Yes, Donnie, Jimmy, Mary Johnson. Sister Vesta. There's more. Uncle Bob, yes. There was, of course, Lori, and then Aunt Neoma recently. I'm sure there's some more. I'm sorry? Oh, Dylan, yes. Dylan, correct. And then the Driscolls, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sister Carol Clevenger. And I know there's more. I hate to miss anyone. But there's several. And so you think of these numbers up here and how it's changed a lot over the years. The congregation looks different. And we're grateful for each and every one here. But the amazing thing is we're here, all right? And it doesn't matter the age. It's where God has placed us at this time. God chose for us all to be born at the time we were born. And so we're alive today in 2025 for a reason. And I what I love about this is God has a beautiful, wonderful plan for all of us individually and collectively. Because this is God's world. This is God's church. This is God's congregation. We are his people. And so God has a wonderful plan for everyone and ultimately to lead everyone to him. That's the ultimate goal, okay? So thinking of how all this is, again, how the congregation has changed over the years, I want to come back to this point because there was a reason I wanted to bring up the part about the younger ones. There's 28 younger ones here. And clearly, like I said earlier, the numbers obviously are increased if everyone's here at the same time. But we'll come back to that point towards the end of our little discourse this morning. But I want to switch gears here for a moment. And I want to ask a question. Perhaps you all have heard this quote or this saying that was said years ago. And I'll read this and see if it sounds familiar to you. It says, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him." Have you all ever heard that before? Do you know who said that? It was D.L. Moody. And basically, his was an abbreviated saying that he created. That he said that one himself, but it came from someone else. It was actually an older, he was a young man at this time, when he heard an older minister in the middle 1800s, a British evangelist, and this was the original quote several years prior to that. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with or for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him." So what happened was, when D.L. Moody, he was a young man when he heard that, he took that to heart. And he actually, he took that as a personal challenge. And he later said himself, he said, "By God's grace, I want to be that man." And what's amazing is, then the rest of his life, and here's something else that's astounding. He wasn't a very educated man, all right? But yet God used him powerfully. In the late 1800s, he was a very prominent, highly effective evangelist, a minister, and God used him in a mighty way. But he took what someone else said, and he took that to heart, and he lived that. That was his desire. He wanted to see, what can God do? Not to see what all the works that he create, but he wanted to see what God's potential was with himself. All right? So, and that's what I want to write on the board here, the title of my message this morning. So what I've written on the board is surrender, surrender unlocks potential. And basically what D.L. Moody experienced was God's potential and how he could use one man, D.L. Moody. And how many times have we take, for instance, referring back to our congregation here, and we can go back decades, others that have been here, maybe not in these seats, but the old chapel, others that have gone on before us where their surrender to God unlocked some amazing potential in their lives. And we have been so positively affected by the things that they did, not just for the Lord, but the steady lives that they lived before us. And a powerful testimony of a life surrendered to God unlocked an amazing potential in their lives. And we get to reap the benefits of that. And so, but then it passes down to us. Lord, help us. What about our surrender and it unlocking potential in our own lives? So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Thinking of this surrender, and this potential. You know, God is not limited by our weakness, our failures, our lack of ability, our background. It's usually us, the lack of us surrendering to the Lord, or the level of surrendering, that's what affects God's potential, what God can do. And again, as I mentioned earlier, D.L. Moody, he wasn't a well-educated man, but you know what? That didn't matter, because God was the one that spoke to him, that spoke through him. And we can go all through the ages. There's been many. Think of the disciples that Jesus called. They weren't well-educated, polished men. They were fishermen. They were just rough countrymen, so to speak. But God used them in a mighty way because they were surrendered to God, and he unlocked that potential through that surrender to him. So what is it then, thinking of surrender? You know, maybe we could say it this way. What is not surrender? Now, this is, take for instance, if someone was to come up to you and said, "Hey, I want you to give me that right here, right now. Whatever it is that you're holding on to." It may be as simple as mac and cheese. You're like, "What? That sounds silly." Okay, there's more behind this. I've actually heard of different ones recently talking about their favorite mac and cheeses. And I have a couple myself. But, you know, that's just a personal thing. It's not a moral issue at all right? But it's just to bring home the point that if we surrender something, we willingly give it to somebody, okay? Take, for instance, say in wartime, and you have someone, the enemy overtakes, or the conqueror overtakes their enemy, and they put a sword or a gun to the back and say, you know, "You better surrender," and they hold up their arms and surrender, all right? They're like, "Okay, you got me," all right? But they're forcing them to surrender, okay? That's not true surrender, because what about in their hearts? You realize they can throw up their arms and say, "Okay, you got me, you can handcuff me, you can take me to prison or whatever, you know, concentration camp," but inside, they haven't surrendered at all. You understand what this is? So true surrender, you can't force it. I can try to force you to give up your mac and cheese, but that's not real surrender. You're like, "You know what? I still love my mac and cheese. Here's the bowl of it, but I still," you know. You understand the point here. True surrender is willingly giving control of something to someone else. And that's what we're talking about. It's willingly giving control of everything about our life to the Lord, all right? Willingly giving it to him. We're not feeling like we're pressured into it, we're forced into it, and God's saying, "You better give me that now or else." That's not how God works. The scripture says, "Whosoever will." It's an invitation. He's like, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." It's an invitation to come to him. He doesn't force anything out of our hands, out of our grip. It's an invitation only. And that's what I love about, and you think about God, God is love, all right? If someone really loves you, they're not going to come up to you and rip something out of your hand because they want it. That's forced surrender. That's not willing surrender, okay? So let's take this down to us personally. What can this mean to us? Talking about surrender unlocking potential. Again, it's not about our talents, how many talents we have, how many skills we have. It's not about our intellect, our training, our education, the status or the title we have, but it's truly about giving God access to our lives, opening our hands and our hearts to the Lord and say, "Lord, I surrender this to you because you can do much more with this than what I can do." Okay, that's what it's talking about. Okay, so again, surrender, unlocking potential. And then another aspect of this is considering this is God's power that we're wanting to focus on, not our own power. Okay, so it's focusing on who we're giving access to, Who are we giving? Who are we surrendering to? It's surrendering to God. It's not to someone else. It's not to the devil, of course. But it's surrendering whatever we have. It's surrendering it to God because He's the one that is able to do something with what we have. And it's also not holding back. You can think of it this way. Have you ever noticed someone that's, we use this term kind of loosely, and I'm not, it's just a term that's been used, being an Indian giver, okay? But it may be someone that's just giving you something and, oh, they want to take it back. Give you something and, oh, they want to take it back, all right? But how many times have you seen that with children? That they're not mature enough to understand really that concept, and as parents, we try to teach them and instruct them, no, it's good to give, you know, and don't require that you want that thing back or you get something else in return. But truly, when we give and we surrender to the Lord, we give it to Him with no strings attached. It's not like, Lord, I'll give this to you if you'll do such and such. Putting a condition on it. That's not real surrender. Surrender means you give it all. No strings attached. Open-handed. Not closed-fisted. All right? So I hope you understand what we're saying here this morning. And then to think of it this way. A full surrender, it's a call to consecration. It means yielding every area of your life to the Lord. That means, yes, your hopes, your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your resources, your reputation, your desires, all of those things you're giving to the Lord because He's the one that has the power and the ability to do something with it that we never thought of or dreamed possible. Remember the scripture, it says, I think it's in Ephesians, the third chapter, it says, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What that means is that we've invited God, we've surrendered our whole being to the Lord, and that's the power that's resting in us because God's in our life now. So according to that amount of surrender, that means that's how much God can work and move in our life, all right? And He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. God can blow our minds. He's like, you give me that little bowl of mac and cheese and I'll give you a truckload of it. Now that sounds pretty corny, all right? But the point is, sometimes we hold on to things that seem so trivial. But to us, it seems so important and so, oh no, this is my little whatever it is. And God's saying, just give that to me too. I can do something so much greater than what you can. Yes, He can. Thank the Lord. So thinking of bringing this again to some practical everyday applications, you know, surrendering to the Lord can be as simple, and I think this is the foundation of all of it, is that we learn how to live a godly life according to the scriptures every day. Being a consistent Christian. We'll just put it out there like that. Because if we can't do that every day, then God can't trust us with some larger task. Is that fair to say? For instance, how many have started a new job somewhere and you're the low man on the totem pole, so to speak? They don't put control or authority or power in your hands to write checks to everyone in the company your first day of work, do they? No. You're not trustworthy. You're not experienced. You've not learned the system. They don't know you that well. There's all kinds of things you have to prove before you can reach those type of positions. You start at the entry level. And again, I believe the entry level for all of us is, Lord, help me to be faithful to You each and every day. And just live. Sometimes it may seem mundane and just kind of like, oh, the same old, but folks, God is considering, God is watching us. He wants to see, are we really serious about God? Are we really serious about living for the Lord? Or is it something we just do maybe once a week? Every Sunday, it's like, well, I want to, you know, really show the Lord at least one day a week that I really love Him and I really want to live according to His word and His will. That's not a consistent Christian, all right? That's not someone that's steady. Someone that's steady is each and every day. They seek to please the Lord and to live for Him. So, thinking of this, I want to read a couple examples here. In Luke, the first chapter, this example of a young lady that was being faithful to the Lord in just her everyday task. All right? And this is none other than Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she was just a young teenager from all indications. She was a young lady. And the angel came to her and visited her and told her that she was going to bear a son, Jesus. And she's like, how can this be? Like, I've not known a man. You know, I'm maybe engaged to Joseph here, but how can this be? And then the angel tells her about her cousin, Elizabeth, that she's with child. And she's like, how can that be? But notice verse 37. You see, a lot of times we look at life, again, through our own eyes and our own understanding, our own comprehension. And we look at things like, that is impossible. There's no way an older lady like Elizabeth can have a child. There's no way a young lady like Mary could have a child. But notice what the angel said to her. Verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Thank the Lord. That God's not looking at our youth, how old we are. He's not looking at our imperfections, as in we can't, maybe there's just certain things we can't sing a certain way, we can't pronounce words a certain way, or we can't do this a certain way. And like, but you know what? God's not looking at those things. He's not looking at maybe our lack of experience or lack of intellect or whatever in a certain area. God is looking at a vessel that's willing to surrender all of that to the Lord too. Okay? And in Mary's case, notice verse 38, what she said. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, talking about herself. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what that speaks to me? That speaks to me volumes. She's saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't see how this is possible. And I don't know what the future holds in this. I have no idea what all is going to happen here. But nonetheless, I am your daughter, Lord. And here I am. She surrendered all of that. Her questions, the unknown things, all the things that, and later it talks about scriptures that she pondered these things in her heart. She watched as Jesus was, as he grew up and how he was mistreated. And yet she's remembering that day that she surrendered to the Lord her whole life, her future, everything about her. She didn't hold it back. And look how God used her. Isn't that amazing? She didn't have a special degree. She didn't have a special background. She didn't have a special education or all those things. She was just a faithful young child of God. And God used her. God unlocked her full potential. And thank the Lord for little Mary. Well, here's another one I want to read. We won't talk necessarily extensively about it, but there's a scripture I want to pull from this in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. This is about the prophet Isaiah himself. And God truly used him as a prophet. And I want to pick up this one scripture, Isaiah 6 and 8. He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Oh, how powerful is that? That Isaiah wasn't looking at himself. He wasn't looking at, well, what can I, you know, what can I muster up here? And what can I generate and work up towards? All he said is, God is saying, I need someone. And prophet Isaiah said, here am I. All right? You need someone? Here am I. Send me. Okay? And think of how many times have we been blessed by some of the scriptures and writings of the prophet Isaiah. Many scriptures we can quote. One in particular, y'all remember this one? I'm not going to read all of these, but these are just a few. Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, I have a feeling Isaiah experienced that himself. Of course he did. He understood what it meant to rely upon the Lord's strength, surrendering to the Lord. And here's another one. In the 41st chapter, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Again, the prophet Isaiah had experience, a personal experience with surrendering everything to the Lord, and God was unlocking that potential, and God saying, "You haven't seen anything yet. Just wait till I get this. Wait till you commit such and such into my hands." Whatever it is. And God's saying, "I have much more for you, child. Thank the Lord." Now again, I want to consider what we talked about earlier. I wrote down some numbers up there. I just want to bring this closer to all of us here this morning. That God knows your and my full potential. We don't know. You know, I've seen God do some miraculous things with some folks over the years that I've had to step back and say, how did that happen? It was God's power and his faithfulness. That he would call somebody, and even as simple as, it's not just calling someone maybe to the mission field or calling to be a minister, all those things, but how many times I've heard testimonies just recently on Wednesday nights, I've heard personal testimonies of people stand up and testify and give a thanksgiving, how God moved upon someone's heart to send them a text or send them a card or give them a call or speak a few words of encouragement to someone that desperately needed it right then. And God used them because they've been surrendering their whole being to the Lord, not just once a week, not just a few times a year, but every day they were living in the Spirit, saying, "Lord, use me, send me. What do you want me to do for you today, Lord? I realize what I have, I'm limited, my limited resources, my limited abilities, but Lord, with you, all things are possible." And we start surrendering those things to the Lord, and God saying, "Oh, I can do so much with this." And then we hear the testimonies of God blessing someone, God encouraging someone right in the nick of time, if you could say it that way. I've had that happen for myself many times. And I remember a time too. I've shared some of this before. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. But I remember a time when I was younger, after my dad had passed away. And I didn't realize it at the time. But there was something. I was actually holding some things against the Lord. I didn't feel like I was treated fairly. I'm just speaking plainly here this morning. But you know, God was faithful to visit me and to remind me of his love and care and to give me scriptures and promises and to speak to me through other people that touched my heart and my life and made me tender and open to the Lord. And then I started realizing me harboring this unforgiveness against the Lord of something that was difficult. When I realized I surrender my grief to the Lord, say, "Lord, this is yours. I can't handle it. This is crushing me, Lord. I wasn't made for this. I wasn't made to carry this heavy load." And when I committed and I surrendered that to the Lord saying, "Child, I can do something with that." First of all, it made me lighter. It made me more free. I was able to really get established in the Lord. It was a process because, like I've mentioned before, in my middle teens, I wasn't as close to the Lord as I should have been. We'll just put it that way. But God was faithful. And through the years, now I can look back. And I've had some other times where maybe I've been hurt by someone else. Or something else, or maybe even by God, so to speak, that the devil put it that way, where I was able to surrender that to the Lord as well, saying, "Lord, this hurts. This doesn't seem fair. But if I hold on to it like this, say, no, this is my mac and cheese, so to speak." And God's saying, "Child, I have so much more for you. Just give it to me, please." He doesn't force it. He doesn't demand it. God's saying, "Just come unto me. I'll take your load. I'll give you some rest and some peace." And we do that God is faithful to hold up his end of the bargain. And there were some other times, I know you all can relate with all of this, back in COVID, even before COVID, in 19, I had my heart attack, and I was dealt with a lot of anxiety. I didn't understand what true anxiety was till I went through that. It's real, folks. But I'm also here as a standing witness to testify God can give us victory over anxieties too. Because it was just the next year in 2020, COVID hit. And we all had some great losses in many different ways. Some lost their jobs, some lost loved ones, some had issues with their health. And I felt that same wave of anxiety coming over me. Overwhelming at times. But I'm here to testify. God gave me the victory over that too, because I had to surrender that, saying, Lord, I can't hang on to this anymore. This is tearing me up. This is crushing me. I'm not any count this way. And the Lord's saying, well, give it to me, child. I'll do something for you. I'll help you. And you remember the scripture in Philippians 4 and 7? Remember what that says? I want to turn to read that. Familiar scripture. It says, let me back up just a little bit. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That be careful for nothing means don't be overly anxious. It's not a command, it's an invitation. Think of it that way. God's saying, you don't have to be overly anxious with this, child. I have this. I've got you. It just release it to me. And it says, let your request be made known unto God. And then verse 7 is a promise. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To think of it this way, folks. So many times, let me just word it this way. We were never meant to carry the weight of control. Let that sink in just a little bit. And I remember throughout different times in my life, but I'm just referring back to 2020 was another one, that some of the things that I saw, some of the things that I thought I understood, some of the things that seemed so unfair, some of the things that were happening that were out of my control, and it's like, Lord, why don't you, can you just do this and this and this? And it's like, and the Lord's saying, I've got it all, child. I don't have to try to control it myself. It doesn't do any good. It's going to make things worse. But we weren't designed to carry the weight of control. That's God's business. That's God's. He's the one with the power and the authority. And he knows and sees everyone's heart. He understands the intentions. He understands their desires. He understands people's passions. He understands people's weaknesses. We don't understand them all. We don't understand our own sometimes. But God sees all of those. And God can say, child, just surrender that to me too. And let me work. And thank the Lord, he will work. And to think of it this way. We could say, Lord, like little David said in the song that was sang earlier, I give it to you. I surrender it to you, Lord. You know, David surrendered the battle to the Lord. David was just, he wasn't strong physically compared to Goliath. He was a fraction of that strength and the stature and all those things. But it didn't matter, because David had been practicing a life of surrender daily while he's out there just being a little shepherd boy. But he was being faithful to surrender even that. Just a trivial job of just being a little shepherd boy, just a little brother out there. And all his big brothers are back with all their armor and everything with the big army. But David's just being faithful back there. And God was looking for someone to surrender their whole being to the Lord. And David was the man at that time. And he surrendered all of that to the Lord. And look at the victory that was given. And it wasn't just for David. It was for the whole army. And that's what I want us to get a hold of this morning. That folks, we affect each other and other people more than we realize. Then when we can find that place of surrender to the Lord, and God starts unlocking our potential, He starts doing things and working with us and through us, it's not our power and our authority, it's God's power and God's authority. And folks, that brings weight to it. Think about that. When God inspires us through His Spirit to do something, it is effective. Even sinners recognize that. But the point is, God wants to use all of us. A little place, medium place, big place, it doesn't matter. Whatever position He wants us to fill, we have to start out being faithful to the Lord each and every day, committing those things, consecrating those things, willingly, not look at it as a drudgery, like, oh man, I've had this for so, like, oh, it's kind of my pet. You understand the point? But say, no, Lord, this is a wonderful thing because I can be free and light and joyful again. I can rejoice in You. Let me read these scriptures again. We'll start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Folks, this is what we reap here. We get to reap the benefits of His peace. Though no matter what's going on out there in the world, no matter the battle that's raging right in front of us, that we can have the peace of God. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, He promised to keep us. If He's keeping us, then He's going to encourage us. He's going to inspire us. He's going to lift up the feeble knees. He's going to do all those things that we can't do on our own. And He's saying, child, I'm here for you. And the surrender that unlocks the potential, it's, as it said earlier, I want to read that quote again. The world is yet to see what God can do with a man or woman fully surrendered to Him. Folks, this is a call for all of us. It doesn't matter where we're at in our experience with the Lord. We all have some more things that we would benefit from. That we just surrender that to the Lord too. Not wait till it's a problem. You realize God can reveal things to us before it becomes a problem. He can check us and talk to us saying, child, you know, if you just give that to me before it becomes a serious issue, things can be a lot better for you. God is faithful to do that. But if we're open to Him and we're tender before the Lord, He'll speak to us about those things. And we'll say, you know what? Yes, Lord, I'm going to give that to You too. I gladly give that to You. It's something that, again, it's not a drudgery. It's something we can enjoy our experience and our life living for the Lord. And folks, I want to promise you, other folks will catch on to that. They'll feel it. They'll see it. They'll see God unlocking more potential in our lives. God will see, the folks will see God working and moving, and they're going to go, you know what? I want some of that too. Because they realize their limitations, and they realize what our limitations were and how God is using us. We're like, well, Lord, You can help free me of this too. You deliver them from anxieties. You deliver them from depression. You deliver them from whatever you fill in the blank. God will do it for anyone who surrenders willingly to Him. Lord, help us all to be faithful and surrender willingly to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. You pray for me. Amen.